From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls, your weekly alternative look at the news with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in Pop Rad, which is why we call it Postcard from Pop Rad. I can report snow on the top of the mountains. It's a lovely day. It's not raining, slightly chilly, but hey, it's a lot better than Great Britain. Talking of which, on the zit on the nose of Europe, it's none other than my old compatriot, Lee Banks.
Thank you very much. Do you mean I'm the zit on the nose of Britain?
Probably.
Well, that's very nice.
And giggling in the background, as we are a truly international station, let's cross straight away to Paris and welcome to the programme for the first time, and lots of them in the future, we hope. It's the founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mr. Mark Gander.
Well, hello there. I'm very pleased to be on the programme.
Are you sure about this?
Well done, Mark.
I mean, yesterday it was Sky News. Today, Postcard from Pop Rad. How the mighty how the mighty do fall. Mark's going to be helping us out with lots of consumer issues. So much on banking at the moment, which is how you kind of got into CAG in the first place, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it did. Initially, an argument with my Lloyds Bank.
Could you just say that name again? Which bank was it?
Lloyds.
Oh, right. Okay.
Not Lloyd Julian Webber. No. Julian Lloyd Webber. No. You're looking for a continuity link.
There. Yeah, oh, very good.
Yeah. Are we still doing quintessential?
Oh, no.
The truth of my...
The word of the week this week, boys and girls, is quintessential. Mark's in first, so that's 1-0 to Mark. Play along at home.
I'll catch you up, Mark. I'm quintessentially at war with you now.
Oh, no, stop it, you two. Right, so carry on, sir.
Yes, no, so I had a row with my bank for about £150, and I walked away feeling very angry, and as a result, I decided to start up a website to help people recover their charges and generally stand up to bullying by banks and any other organisation, retail organisation or local council organisation, which bullies them for their money.
Good. Right. Okay, well, we'll come back. Lots more of that in a minute. Let's move on to some of the messages and birthdays this week. It's US radio star and good friend of RTI, Dan Delgado's birthday this week. Happy birthday, Dan. Also to Mike Brand in Israel. And I'm not sure if we should do this, but we're supposed to tell the world you're 21 or 22. Does that make sense to you, Mike? I don't know.
Celebrates 21 and a half.
That'll do. Tanya Hornikova is from Slovakia. She's also celebrating a birthday this week. Another good friend to RTI is the ever so young Paul Bedford, who's been a bit poorly this week. So we hope you're feeling better. Sam Hall, who currently resides in Singapore, is about 150 this week. I say that with venom because last week he was sitting opposite Sir Richard Branson at the Singapore Grand Prix. He didn't invite me to go over and stay with him and go to the Grand Prix. So therefore, Sam, you're at least 100 and look like it.
Yeah.
Have a nice birthday. Lee, your messages.
I've only got two. It's been a really bad week for messages. People don't like me anymore. Are you ready? Anyway, here we have. Right, this is one. Oh, this is a sad one. Adam, Brad and Wes.
Right.
They're on their way to Spain for a holiday. And they were intending to get there, get a beer and listen to the show. They're actually stranded at Manchester Airport because of those naughty strikers in Spain.
Gosh.
Now we have another sad one. Mm-hmm. Martin Ward, one of our best listeners, one of the people who never misses a show. Well, he went in hospital on Wednesday for an operation which shall remain nameless. Anyway, for some inexplicable reason, they cancelled it on him. But like a good Mancunian, he's off for a beer tonight to celebrate.
Hang on. Hospital, out for beers.
He's a Mancunian.
Fair enough. this week sees Julian Lloyd Webber arriving in Slovakia. Now, I'm off to go and see Julian on Sunday at a concert that he's taking part. Well, actually, he's the lead turn. And I'll be speaking to Julian. We'll bring that to you next week. Julian will be playing in Lovoča, which is one of the eastern towns in Slovakia. Very easy to get to as it goes. And it's the first time Julian's ever played there. This is part of the Indian Summer Festival in Lovoča. There's a whole bunch of guys from all over the world, as it goes, coming to Slovakia and introducing people to concerts, to music, to Baroque, to all sorts of wonderful forms of music. I'm not saying genre, because I get cross when people do genre stuff. Well, because people pitch in, it's like pigeonholing everything.
You know, it's not saying it's a genre.
It's pigeonholing. I hate people putting things in little boxes. It's ridiculous. It's just
music. It's like
music.
Men's agenda.
It's music.
It's a genre.
Music.
Pigeons have got to live somewhere, haven't they? I mean, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, God. There we go. Back to genres again. This is from Steve. Any chance of a mention, Eric? Live Celtic rock music. See what I mean? Doesn't make sense as a genre. It's a big
That's
charity.
A genre.
Stop it. Now, apparently, which is why we're happy to do this, this event going on Saturday, the 9th of October, from 7 p.m. till late, at the Waterfront Bar, which is at Shamrock Quay in Southampton, is all in aid of Transplant Sport UK, and that's an organisation that raises huge amounts of money for organ donations, of which we need as much help as we can get on that. Apparently there's going to be great music, great food, great prizes to bid for, and well, apart from Steve being there, great company. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to transplantsport.org.uk. that's transplant.org.uk. I'll get there in a minute if it kills me. It's taking place at the Shamrock Quay, Southampton, Saturday the 9th of October, 7 till late. This is also in from David. It says, hi Eric, hope all goes well. Yes, I'll check, I'm fine David, thank you. If you have a moment, please ask the listeners to view and vote for my daughter's film. It's about having the courage to do the right thing, being true to yourself and who you are, and the right we all have to live our lives peacefully and without fear.
Good idea.
Absolutely. I have to say, it's a very short film. This is actually made and produced by a teenager. When you see it, I haven't had a tear in my eye since watching Sunshine in the 70s. That's another story. If you are of a slightly conservative position, maybe not, but it's a fantastic little film. It's part of a competition going on filmnation.org.uk, and we wish David and his daughter all the very best with it. It's a really powerful little movie, actually.
It is. I saw it, I watched it, and I voted for it.
Did you really?
I did. It's nice.
You're a good man. Tributes being paid to the Hollywood star Tony Curtis, who has died at his home in Nevada, aged 85. There's a bit of a fight going on over here as to where he was born. The Slovak TV...
He was Polish!
He wasn't. He was Hungarian.
Well, what's that got to do with Slovakia?
Well, because in the old days...
You can't
was
just
all...
nick him because he lived over the other side of the border. You can't just claim him as yours.
Well, they pinched Andy Warhol. Because of the
Andy
southern...
Andy Warhol came from Slovakia.
Hardly. The television here, they were saying he was from Slovakia. He was down south. But his father went to the US because he was a Jewish member of faith. And so obviously before the Second World War, he went to the US, lived in the Bronx. And Tony grew up speaking Hungarian. Apparently he was a bit of a rebel. But I always remember him as a persuaders with Sir Roger Moore.
He had a fantastic career before the Persuaders. He was one of the biggest stars in the world. He wasn't only gorgeous, he was talented, he was bizarre, he was funny, he could be dramatic. He was one of our greatest actors ever.
Marvellous. There's our film critic for you, because everybody knows I'm a Luddite as far as films are concerned. Moving along quickly.
A Luddite as far as living's concerned.
True. It must be really weird this week, because all of a sudden we've got Mark joining us for the first time, and the consumer news in the UK has gone ballistic.
Unbelievable.
I think they knew you were coming on, Mark. That's what it was.
Well, I think probably the reason is because the holidays have just finished and everybody's back to work and back to the high street. And, of course, as soon as there's any strain on the high street, it all falls over.
Funny that, isn't it? Apparently, Npower, which, for those outside the UK, is an energy provider, and specifically the gas customers, are to get a £70 million refund because of some screw-up over contracts and people arguing the toss. Mark, just out of interest, do we know if this is really right? And if not, what should consumers do?
Well, I have to say, it's very difficult for consumers to judge their bill because they rely on equipment that's supplied by Npower or supplied by British Gas or whoever, in other words, the meters.
Yes.
And if the meters go wrong, it's very difficult to challenge them. I think the only chance of challenging is if there's a real change in the pattern. So if you've been paying, you know, €50 a month for you know, the last 10 years, and then suddenly they hit you with a bill for €500 or £500, and believe me, that happens very often.
Right.
And maybe you've got a basis for arguing, but they don't listen to you very much.
Well, actually,
I've got... Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, because that's a different system to here, because last year I questioned a bill from the electric company, and within, I don't know, 24 hours, they were round here, put a second meter on inside the building alongside the main fuse box to actually check the other meter. And there was no sort of big shout about it. It was just, okay, well, we'll come and check the meter. It was just too easy and probably saved
a
lot of money.
It's a world, isn't it? It's a different world. Our customer service in Britain is terrible. Can I just ask Mark a very quick question
Go
about
on, then.
This? Because sure. I think there's something really cynical about this, and I think it's not only cynical about Npower today, I think it's something that goes throughout our British society at least. They held on to they clawed in £70 million off consumers. They held on to it for 2 years. How much interest have they made on that in
Ooh,
2 years?
Good
and then
question.
They just said, right, we've had it for 2 years. Now we'll give a little bit back. You can all have 35 quid each back. Who decides you've overspent by 35 quid? This is just cynical.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. And I have to say that if people sued for the money, they would get at least 8% interest back and maybe even more. Mm. But I can certainly imagine that it will probably take quite a lot of tough talking to force Npower, or let me say any other provider in a similar situation, force them to pay back the money and the interest that they've made on it.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Mark. It's tough talk. You've got to talk tough to these people. I'm not going to monopolise this, but I'll just say that, I don't know how long ago, maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, I don't check my bank account. I don't check my bank statements because I know how much is going in and how much is going out. Anyway, one day I did, and I found out that I'd been hit, this is only a few months ago, with £600 worth of bank charges. And that was all based on interest going on top of interest.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now, I caught the bank straight. I went down to see the manager. I had a battle with the manager inside.
Yeah, but you're big. You're a huge fella.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Talk tough. Act big. You'll get your money back. I got my 600 quid back.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a piece of advice that I was given by a trainer many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think of a way of cleaning this up slightly. but basically what he said was, don't be worried about the bank manager going to the dentist or going to an accountant. Because when they go to do their ablutions in the bathroom, it's just as smelly when they do it as you do it. They're no different to you. And
Eric,
it's true, but it's not.
Disgusting.
No, they're the same. They don't have unbelievable power. They're not God. They're just people doing a job. And if you go down there and stand your corner, you can win. Don't give up.
Sorry. Oh, just turn your TV station into smelly vision.
Oh, my word. Right, Mark, moving along with banking, as there's loads more of these ones, so they fit in beautifully for you. The Irish Republic started bailing out the banks. I thought we'd heard the end of bailing out the banks. But the Allied Irish Bank is in so much trouble that it's going to cost the Irish citizens around 7,000 euros each in Ireland to bail the banking system out. I don't understand.
No, I mean, isn't it amazing? I mean, you know, it's not Ireland. I mean, it's worldwide. I mean, whoever's listening to this around the world, I'm sure that they've got exactly the same experience of their money, their taxpayers' money, having to bail out the banks. It's just quite incredible. And, of course, you know, how has this happened in Ireland? Well, you know, Ireland, you know, has had a recent history of, you know, fantastic economic growth. And it's so sad that so many people now have you know, gotten used to a better standard of living and invested themselves more in the economy, and suddenly the rug's away from under their feet, caused by the banks.
Marvellous. Exactly. And talking of the banks, we'll stay in the UK, because UK banks are amassing, get this, there's a common factor here, 7,000. UK banks are amassing 7,000 complaints a day to the UK's banking regulator. 7,000 a day? Mark.
But hang on. I've got to hold my hand up here and just say something. I agree, that's a terrifying figure. But as far as the banks are concerned, they look at that as a percentage of how many customers they go, and it's minuscule. It doesn't exist.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, Lloyd, I mean, you say 7,000. I don't think 7,000 a day helps very much. You know, let's get it into perspective. The worst three performing banks on the FSA's list, which they published yesterday, are Lloyd's, Barclays and Santander. And together, they accounted for 1 million complaints in just 6 months. That's a million in 6 months. I don't know
how
rest of
how many customers have they got between them?
I really don't know. I mean, they've certainly got an awful lot. But, you know...
So it's millions. So that million is actually quite a large percentage.
I think, well, Lloyd's tried to say that it's something like 3% of their customer base in respect of their 300,000-odd complaints. Mm. And, I mean, that you know, maybe that's true. But still, 300,000 complaints is just incredible in just 6 months. I mean, you know, something's going wrong there.
I mean, if you take the proportions here, I don't know if anybody knows the history, but, you know, I know the community's grown. But in the sort of 60s, 70s, 80s, if you know any of the history, Mark, the population hasn't grown that much, and yet I see the banking complaints growing dramatically faster than the population. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're absolutely right. But I mean, I think that, you know, complaints amongst all, you know, the big providers, and you know, whether you're talking banks here, whether you're talking about sort of, you know, huge consumer warehouses and so forth, you know, the impression that we get on the Consumer Action Group, I mean, we've got a big membership. We've got well over 250,000 members. We've got 750,000 visitors who visit us every month just to try and get
how many?
How many?
We're getting about 700,000 unique visitors per month.
Gosh.
Heck.
It's astonishing.
Yeah. Well, it's in the show.
It's astonishing. And I have to say, you know, although we don't have the resources to carry out proper statistical analysis of what we're getting, our impression is that, you know, there's a problem here and it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Can I just highlight where that problem starts?
I'm going to have a fun aside here. I'll have a word with a mate of mine that works in the internet industry for you, Mark. I'll get your figures for you.
Well, listen, here's a cynical point of view, which I think is perfectly right. While the banks in Britain and across the world won't lend people for important things like houses, like things that you need, they will still lend you money for education. That's putting you right in debt as soon as you start. This is a society which is built on debt and vaunts the wonderful
side of debt. I mean, that isn't an aside, but I tell you what, I did like that idea, and I can't remember who said it this week. I don't know if you saw it, Mark, in France, that instead of the people wanting to go to university having to sort of take this loan out, they were looking at making it into a taxational system whereby you were government granted at the beginning, but then because you'd taken your university degree or studied at university, you then paid it back out of your wages in a different kind of way. So it wasn't at all as painful as the system it is now.
Doesn't that sound a sensible idea, you know? And if you're somebody who, as a result of that, you manage to become a captain of industry, you pay out a good whack. And if you don't manage to become a captain of industry, then you pay out less. How reasonable that is.
Well, that makes sense to me. Let's move along, boys and girls, because the bailed-out insurer AIG, which supplies many in Slovakia with their insurance, plans are underway to pay back... U.S., take note, apparently the taxpayer in the U.S. is going to get some money back. Mark, what happened with AIG? What was the problem with them?
I'm afraid that I'm just that's outside my
remit.
Knowledge at the moment.
I was going to say,
you make me sound like a lawyer here.
Yeah. We've got remits, you know, on this program.
All I can imagine is that, you know, this is another organisation that's been investing in a rather too risky way. Mm. And now the pigeons, where we talked about pigeonholing recently,
yes,
the pigeons have now come home to roost. And it's another one that's, turns out that it's just been lending and investing irresponsibly.
Yeah.
Also, you have to bear in mind that this is yet again another case of people sitting on everybody else's money, making a fortune by the time, and then say, yeah, you can have a bit back. that now.
Yeah, marvellous. Yeah. Talking of people that may be spent irresponsibly, artwork from the collapsed investment bank Lehman Brothers.
Just be careful.
Because he knows where I'm going. And other memorabilia fetched £1.6 million at auction in London. The firm's administrators, PricewaterhouseCoopers, ordered the sale at Christie's to raise funds for the bank's creditors. How on earth does a bank go and buy art and stuff like that, which is, I could get cheaper off the internet and put it in a frame for them for about £2. It beggars belief.
This is Gary Hume's Madonna. It's worth £73,000. This man put his heart and soul into this painting.
Listen, they're all acquiring huge art portfolios. I mean, this is not new. The RBS do it. They all do it. And I mean, I think that even the government has huge art collections. I mean, what would be more interesting to know from my point of view is how many of these pieces that they actually bought originally have actually made it to auction, and how many aren't around anymore.
And did they make a profit?
That's a very good question.
I mean, I couldn't argue too much if they made a profit, because that's okay for those creditors that are waiting for money, but they don't make profits.
We're talking about banks. They can't make a profit out of anything other than borrowing everybody else's money. How are they going to make money out of artwork? I think they did, to be honest.
Well, actually, just very briefly, that we weren't planning to talk about, but I wouldn't mind a comment from Mark, because there's a new boss at Barclays. Now, the interesting thing for me was the new boss of Barclays came from the investment banking side, not the high street banking side.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I mean, we've got the government, we've got the FSA saying that we have to separate retail, and we have to separate them from the merchant banking.
Yeah.
And that, you know, then they do this kind of thing, so that even if it's separate, you've still got a character in there with the same mindset. And I'm just trying to think, was he actually a banker? Because I know there's been a big history of these people heading up these huge organisations, these very important organisations, and they're not bankers, they're sort of scientists and graphic designers and so forth. And I've got a feeling that maybe this person may not originally be a banker.
We will see how many people can find this out. Because in one of the major banks in the UK, there is a senior executive who lends money to people in one form or another. They actually started their life in tourism. Now, how does tourism turn into banking? It's like me turning into a brain surgeon. We'll end with a couple of little silly stories for you, and a bit of news about the programme as well, boys and girls. Lee's going to love this one. And I noticed that Mark talks properly. Talking to your microphone, Mr. Banks.
I'm talking to my microphone.
That's all right then. 51-year-old Oscar winner Emma Thompson has been talking to the Radio Times in the UK.
That's a bit suspect, isn't it? Talk to a person, you get a response.
Yeah, that's probably true. We'll come on to some more of those later. And she doesn't like people that don't talk properly, like what I do, Governor. Ms. Thompson added that she went to her old school, and people are using words like likes and in it, mate. She said she actually told the students not to do it because it makes you sound stupid, and you're not stupid. Oh, so Emma Thompson's saying I'm not stupid.
Mark, can I just interrupt here? My problem with Eric and him saying that he talks proper like what I do is I've never found anybody who actually speaks fluent Eric.
Is there a sort of teenage slang in France, Mark?
Like
SMS speak?
Use all sorts of... I don't know if there's SMS speak. I mean, I've got a young son, and he's just got a mobile phone, so I'll have to see what he starts sending me when he writes to me in French.
Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, you know, there is a sort of young person's slang.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to sort of abbreviate every word, so you get half the word. Instead of going to a restaurant, you go to the resto.
You go
to the disco. Well, I mean, we know that one sort of very well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of street slang. And I have to say that, you know, I know what Emma Thompson means when she's saying, well, we don't like her, and it's like this, and I was like, you know. But I have to say that, you know, I think that's the way the language develops, and I think that probably at the end of the day, that's one of the strengths of the English language, and I think that we have to accept it.
Well, otherwise we'd be still.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, we'd be talking ye and thou, wouldn't we? Be ridiculous. Got one piece of
like the French do, because they use tu and vous.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it is.
Okay, as we get to the end of part one, boys and girls, we've got a little announcement about the programme, a bit of housekeeping, as they call it in the industry. In the future, and we'll let Lee Banks's biggest friend on planet Earth tell you the story in a minute. Mr. Stephen Fry will be joining the programme. He's been trying to be friends with Stephen Fry on Twitter for the last 2 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he won't answer me. Well, yeah, no, you just think you can infiltrate and come on this programme. Well, we'll see you.
I'll just turn Lee off, boys and girls, don't worry. What's going to happen in the future is you're going to be able to interact with us. So when you're listening to the programme on Audioboo, you'll be able to push a button and record a message from your computer and or your phone in the future and actually pass comments. So if you think Lee is, I can't use that word beginning with T, but if you think Lee is being silly, you're very very free to do so. And the service currently will be on the website of Audioboo. Shortly it will be on the application, so you'll be able to do it directly from your iPhone while you're wandering down the street listening to us, or don't do it in your car, that's not a good idea. But if you've got an Android phone, it's also available on there. So we'll leave Stephen to actually explain to you what's coming up on the programme, and we'll say, Stephen, it's all yours.
Hello, everybody. This is a little welcome from me to you to introduce a rather extraordinary and exciting new Audioboo feature. This is a private boo, which means it's just between you and me. That's right. Think of it as a kind of webby answer phone message, except, it does all that other exciting stuff, like adding pictures and location details and so forth and so on. And there you are, you see. It's launching at the moment just on the Audioboo website, but it will soon make it onto your phone, which will make your phone even more like a phone than it already is, in a way. So just all you have to do to use it is to visit anyone's profile page, hit the record button, and send them some sweet words of joy. And when you get a message, it's very simple to reply to it. And I hope you enjoy this new service, because I think it's going to be absolutely wonderful. I really do. I really do. So lots of love, and farewell.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.